The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Saint Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to him, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism in which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right and at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We do.
So in the Gospel of Mark today, we hear about the bickering. Of course, the Gospel of Mark is the first Gospel. So in the other Gospel, actually, in the same event, in the same story, the mother was the one telling Jesus to make sure that her sons, James and John, will sit on the right and on the left. But essentially, it was what you call it, power play. Or in politics, positioning yourself. No? In the Philippines, we have the word sip-sip, meaning severely insecure person seeking instant promotion. That's what it's an acronym. Or in America, you call it, nose and brown, you know. See, the problem with the apostles, they did not get it at first. They did not see Jesus as the Messiah. No, sorry. They saw Messiah as political. One who will save them from the Roman Empire and establish once again the political kingdom of Israel. So they thought that Jesus was to become the king of Israel. And of course, because of that, they wanted to make sure that they had benefits for being with him. Remember, all of them, including Peter, wanted to get something out of it. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, we have left everything. What do we get out of this?" So all of them, they were indignant or angry at James and John because what? Maybe because they were also planning to do it, but they made it first. Look at the opposite of the question of Jesus. When Jesus asked them, "What do you want me to do for you?" He was totally, sincerely concerned about the other. But with regards to James and John and the apostles, it is not about asking Jesus, "Lord, what do you want me to do for you?" Rather, "Lord, I want you to do something for me So they were really, in a way, using Jesus for selfish, worldly reason. They were not there. They were not thinking about heaven. They were not thinking about reconciling themselves with God. They were not thinking about something spiritual. They simply wanted something material, fame, power, wealth from Jesus. Again, of course, after his resurrection, they realized what? He's giving us something much, much greater than what we thought we wanted. So they had to be purified. Their intention to be with Jesus had to be upgraded from something selfish and worldly to something heavenly and wanted now not to please themselves, but to please the God who died for them. Big radical change, huh? From selfish motive and worldly, only thinking about themselves, to what can I do for you, my God? What do you want me to do for you? Because I want to be with you. You are my treasure. You are my life. You are the center of my universe. What can I do for you, my God? Big difference. As I said, this crucifixion, this was what? The opposite of what they wanted to happen. Because the crucifixion means what? Look, he was powerless. He was treated like a criminal. He was rejected. He was mocked. What king will you try to be with if this is what you see? All of them shied away. All of them hid themselves. When they were gathering, yes, they were still gathering after his death, before his resurrection, they were gathering, but what? All the doors and the windows were closed because they were afraid, because they were ashamed that they were identified with this. But when he showed himself to them, again, it boggles the mind. Now, this Jesus that we believed in as mere human king is actually God, is actually has power over death. And therefore, all of them, excluding Judas, gave up their lives in sharing the gospel of this one God who became man, died for our sins, and rose from the dead. With regards to Judas Iscariot, him selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver is not exactly surprising. The thing is, he was the only one who got fed up first. He got fed up because the message of Jesus was different from his or their expectations. Again, their expectation was richness of wealth, power, and fame. And here was Jesus, what? Telling them, it is easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter God's kingdom. Hey, Lord, come on. Are you telling me we cannot be rich anymore? You're telling us that we should be poor. And when Christ said, blessed are the poor in spirit, hey, come on, no. We want to be rich. So here was the message of Jesus, opposite of their expectation. And that is why Judas Iscariot got fed up. Since I'm not getting anything from him anyway, might as well sell him for 30 pieces of silver. At least I get something out of it. How about us? All of us here, what is our excuse? We know who Jesus is. We know he rose from the dead. We know that he is God, and yet, how come we don't give him due importance? How come we don't give him what he deserves? Our hearts, our minds, our love. How come we only think about him when we need him, or once a week on a Sunday? How come during every day, during the day, we don't even thank him enough? How come we don't trust him? What's our excuse? The apostles, when they realized who Jesus was, my goodness, they changed totally. How about us? And that is why, in my case, even though, just like you, I want to be normal, I wanted to get married, have kids, have family, I said to my God, this is not enough. I have to make sure that I follow his will. Even though, as I told you many times already, in my case, the idea of being a priest was strange to me. My will was to be normal, like typical teenager, partying, getting drunk and all the stuff, whatever. But the more I wanted to love Jesus, the more I realized Jesus did not want me to be normal. You also, you are not supposed to be normal. You're also supposed to what? Follow the will of God, yes? Do we agree on that? Because every time we say the Our Father, what do we say? Thy will be done. Do you mean that? Huh? Do you mean, really, that you, just like me, are willing and able to follow the will of God? Because if you're just saying it without doing it, sorry, it's not enough. So you better do the will of God. In my case, again, just like you, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to be humble, forgiving, merciful, kind, simple. But that is what we are meant to be. Why? Why do we know this? How do we know that we are meant to be merciful, kind, gentle, forgiving? Look at the cross. Is that the supreme example of a forgiving, loving God? This is what we must now imitate. Again, the apostles rejected this before his resurrection. Rejected this because they did not know any better. But you and I were supposed to embrace this. Do not reject this. Embrace what it teaches us. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know? Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. Those words are not meant for him. It is meant for us. I thirst. All of these words should be our words talking to God. I thirst for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for the living God. Is that your attitude? Every day? Or you just happen to remember it once a week? Please, for your sake, do not depend on your strength. Do not depend on other people for guidance. Always seek God's guidance. There are so many false prophets out there giving you false hopes, giving you false ideas. Please, for your sake, seek the Holy Spirit so that you and I can truly be one with Jesus, imitating, obeying, loving Jesus with all our hearts. And who is the best person who was able to express such love? Our beloved Mother Mary, when she said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day on, all generations shall call me blessed. You want to be blessed in the eyes of God? Then follow his will, not only one moment in time, but every day of our lives.